Was that helpful for you guys? You guys feel like that was good? It was a good refresher for me. We talked about the meaning of worship, the true heart of praise. And we studied some different Hebrew and Greek words that talk about how we should praise God and the posture we should have as we sing to him. And so it's been great today to put that into practice. Even with that song we just did, that was jubilant praise. That was fun. That was unto God. So it's just awesome to be putting into practice what we talked about Wednesday. And we will have one more song that we'll close with as we continue to praise God with all of our hearts. But today, I have a question for you guys. You guys want to hear this question? Yes. I don't believe you do. You guys want to hear this question for today? This is a question that is found in Scripture, but it's also found outside of Scripture, outside of Christianity. And I think it's a question that we need to address. It's also the title of my sermon today, which is, who is worthy? Who is worthy? You know, out of all the people, out of all the friends, the family, the relationships, the causes in this world, who is truly worthy of both living for and dying for? Who is worthy of our lives and everything in them? Our time, our gifts, our talents, our future, our energy, and our everything. Who is worthy? This is an important question to ask ourselves. And today's sermon is going to be all about answering this question. Amen? And so our main passage, as was said before, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 1. You know, here at AONYC, we love digging into the Bible. We believe it's where it's at. Amen? That the Bible is where there's hope found for our lives, and it's where the answers are. So let's read here. We'll have the scriptures up on the screen in Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with the writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth and under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside." I'll stop there. Who is worthy? To give a little context here to this passage, the Apostle John is having this vision. And in this vision, there's this important scroll, very important scroll. And in this scroll is the culmination really of all God's work. In this scroll is life. In this scroll is restoration, bringing in the reign of God. And not just anyone can open this scroll, as we see here. Not even an angel. And as John is having this vision, he can't find anyone to open the scroll. And he starts to weep and weep. And he's overwhelmed with sadness and hopelessness, right, in this moment. And he asks this question that we see here in the scripture of who is worthy. And as we read on, we'll find out who is worthy. But I think this question is really, really relatable for us. I think it's a question that maybe you don't wake up in the morning and say, who's worthy of my day? Who's worthy of my time, right? But it's subconsciously going on, right? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What keeps driving you month by month, week by week? What is the purpose of your life? And another way we could ask ourselves this question, which is what we were talking about on Wednesday, is who is worthy of my worship? Who is worthy of my worship? And worship meaning someone we honor, someone we serve, we show reverence to, we respect, someone we live for. And so I want to ask you today, who do you serve? Who do you obey? Who do you worship? Although this word worship, it might sound like more of a religious word or a Christian word, but the truth is that it's really not, right? The truth is that everyone worships something. Everyone serves something or someone, even if it's ourselves that we're serving and worshiping, right? What do people worship in this world? I put some things up on the screen here, right? many different things, way more than what's up on this slide. People worship culture, latest cultural trends and fads. People worship fitting in, finding their identity, their image, looking cool. People worship clothing and fashion, especially here in New York City, right? People worship accolades, grades, what school you go to. People worship their careers, their income, comfort. People worship celebrities and what they say until they say something you didn't like and then you stop worshiping them, right? You find another celebrity, right? People worship music, nature, family, a romantic relationship, happiness, social media. The list goes on, but there's so many things that captivate our hearts and we find ourselves serving that aren't Jesus. But what about you? Really think about that for yourself. What do you worship? What do you spend a lot of time during your week in and week out, really investing in? And is it one of these things? What consumes your time? You know, what consumes your thought life? What do you serve? What do you care most about? As Jesus calls it, what are you treasuring in your heart? And to be clear, none of those things that I just listed are inherently bad, right? You should get a good education. You should have a job. That's awesome. We all need great relationships. I love music. It's awesome. We need film. We need doctors. We need technology. All of that is good, but it all has the potential to become something more than it's supposed to be, to become something more than what it is. And the consistent thing in all of these examples that were just listed is that none of them are worthy of our entire lives, right? None of them are eternal. None of them are worthy of our worship. And listen, people go their entire lives worshiping the wrong things. Don't let yourself be that person. Amen? People go their whole lives worshiping temporary things that have really no value in the end, no eternal significance. Guys, the sad reality is that many people live their entire lives serving something or someone that has never served them and never will. That has never loved them, but really we worship things that are almost and only robbing us of life when we make them a God. That could be a job or a career aspiration that you're trying to go up each rung of the ladder, but you're not finding life. You're actually finding more anxiety. You're finding more hardship, and it's not worth the money. People are finding that out every day. You know, maybe it's a toxic relationship that you hoped you could get a lot out of, but you're actually realizing that this person isn't loving me back. This person isn't treating me the way I thought they would. And you're stuck in this relationship and you're worshiping the person more than you're worshiping God. You care about the relationship working out more than being close to Jesus. Or it could be obsessing over the idea of just fitting in, right? You buy new clothes, you change what you say on your Instagram bio, you hang with different people, but no matter how hard you try, you still feel like you don't fit in. You still feel like, I just don't know where I belong. These are the things that we worship that will never serve us back, but only steal life from us. Let me ask you, why live for something that is not worth living for? Why do that? Why live for something that is not worth living for? I also want to ask you, what is your purpose in life right now? You know, some of us, when you hear that question, you might be quick to say, well, it's to love God. It's to love people. Or it's to build the kingdom. But I want to ask you, but what is really, really your purpose? Right? If some random student on your college campus or where you go to work, some random person just came up to you and said this deep question and said, hey, what's your purpose? Right? Would you say to do what Jesus did? Would that be your response? Or would you be tempted to say, my purpose is to graduate, man. My purpose is to get this dream job. My purpose is to find the one. My purpose is to be happy. I think based off of our instinct of what we would say to someone random, that does a great deal of clarifying what is the true purpose in our lives. But what about for you? What are you living for? If you're not willing to die for something, you will fall for anything. Anything will captivate you. But we got to be willing to live for something that we're willing to lay down our lives for. That we're willing to put it all on the line just like Jesus did. Amen? To truly live for something means that you're willing to lay down your life. And it brings us back to this question again, but what's really worthy of that? Of laying down my life for? Is it this job? Is it this relationship? Is it this trend? Well, let's continue to read here and we'll see what happens in this passage as we read about this scroll that contains life. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Let's keep reading here. Revelation 5, verse 5 says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. Encircled by the four living creatures and the elders, the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes." This is kind of crazy. "Which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." Amen. We'll stop there. So who is this talking about? This passage right here. This passage is talking about Jesus. He is the worthy one. Jesus is the Lion in the tribe of Judah. He is the Root of David. He is the Lamb. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Amen. Jesus is worthy of our lives, guys. He's worthy of our time, our energy, our relationships, everything. And I love how it says here, do not weep. You can stop, you can cease your weeping because there's a hope. And his name is Jesus. And he is the worthy one. He can open the scroll. And I love how it says, see the Lion of Judah. See Jesus. You know, that's what we have to do today and every day. We have to figure out, how can I see Jesus for myself? How can I see Jesus in the scriptures? How can I see Jesus through other people? How can I see that he's worthy? Amen. That he's worthy of my everything. But then the question becomes, well, why? Why is he worthy? Right? We know that the scripture is saying that he's worthy, but what's the answer to why he is worthy? Well, let's keep reading here and we're going to get the answer to that question. Amen. Starting in verse 9. "And they sang a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.'" So why is Jesus worthy? It's a great question. Well, it says, because he was slain. Because he took on death, took on our very sin. And it says that with his blood, he desires to purchase us. And so why is Jesus worthy of our everything? He is the Lamb who was slain. That's the why. And if you're thinking, well, but did Jesus really do that for me? Like, I know he did that for other people that are, you know, that are really lost, people that really need a hope. But did he really die for me? The answer is yes. The Bible says all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore we need a Savior. He was slain for you. He was crucified for you. He's worthy of our everything because of what he did for us and because of who he is. And if you're really unsure of, like, does this really have to do with me? Am I really part of this thing? Well, look at the end of verse 9. It's kind of all-inclusive. Persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. I think that covers about everyone, right? Yeah. Jesus did this for everyone. No one is excluded from being responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. And no one is excluded from needing him and bowing down to him. Amen? And so what should our life be about now? It should be about what verse 10 says, to serve our God. To serve him, to worship him, to reign with him on the earth and forever. He made us to be this incredible community, this kingdom community that as we live in a world and a city who lives for temporary things, we're a community that shows the world how to live for eternal things. We look past the facade, right? We look past the big billboards in Times Square and we say, yeah, that's not life. Jesus is worthy of my life. Amen. Jesus is worthy of my everything. And, you know, remember what I said earlier that many people live their whole lives serving something or someone that has never served them, that has never loved them, but has only robbed them of life. Well, Jesus is the only being, the only one who actually loved you first, served you first before you ever served him. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. He lived and died for you before you ever decided to live for him. And when we worship God, we're serving a God who not has is gonna love us, but has already loved us, has already served us. And so when we worship him, when we make him the Lord of our life, it's not that we should do it so that he'll love us back, but it's that we should worship him for the ways he's already loved us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's already been worthy the whole time. Before you were ever born, before your parents were born, he was always worthy. And the truth is that there's no person, there's no job, there's no cause, there's no thing in this world that has already loved you the way Jesus has. You're never going to find it. Yet, even though we know that's true, we decide to love the things of this world more than Jesus. I know I fall into that trap. You guys fall into that trap? Even though we know Jesus loves us and has served us before anyone, we still find ourselves serving other things outside of God. Even though he's the only worthy one. But man, does he love us. Man, does he want to show us how worthy he is. Did you know that you're worth the blood of a God? Did you know that? That God said, not only is he worthy, is Jesus worthy, but God deemed you worthy of his son's own blood. How does that make you feel? To know that God looked at you, sin and all, and said, my son, my daughter, they're worthy of my son's blood. Now, did we earn it? Did we have this perfect track record, no sin? And Jesus was like, now they've earned it, now come. No, not at all. We didn't earn this one bit. And that's why it's such amazing grace. Because we can realize we did a jack squat. But God said, they're worthy. They might not realize it. But I'm going to send Jesus to show them my love. Amen? You know, our sin earns us death, but Jesus is offering life. God has given us everything. He's given everything to you, but are you giving your everything back to him? Are you doing that in your life? And this question is really, do you see that he's worthy? Maybe you've been around Christianity for a while. Maybe you've been a churchgoer for a long time. But do you really see how worthy Jesus is? I want to share a brief story here before we take communion together. This was a crazy thing for me. I was going to a concert with my dad out in Port Chester, New York. And we're about to just go get some Mexican food, try to have a bite to eat before the concert, me and my mom and my brother there. And we get off the train and we just hear this yelling. You guys ever just in New York, you just hear someone random yelling and you're like, another day in New York, right? Like, don't talk to me, dude. So I get off the train, but the weird thing is it's not nighttime yet. It's like 3 or 4 p.m. So I'm like, who is like this wasted at 3 p.m. just yelling all around Port Chester? And so we keep walking closer to the Mexican restaurant and it keeps getting louder. Keeps getting louder, and we're just like, what is going on? Should we not go to this place? Like, is this guy over there? And then we get to this spot where we see hundreds of people walking up Main Street, and it kind of hits us what was going on in this moment. It was Good Friday, and the Hispanic community was basically reenacting Jesus going to the cross. And so we're just like, stop. I'm like, I'm not crossing the street right now. And we watch all these people cross and follow Jesus and the two people carrying their crosses. And what the sound we were hearing was the Roman soldiers with microphones yelling hurtful things to Jesus. So who I thought was this crazy New Yorker running around the streets was Romans reenacting killing Jesus and whipping him. First time that's ever happened in my life. I was like, wow, definitely misread the situation. But in that moment, as weird as it was, and it's kind of like, what do I do? I was like, I guess I should videotape this. But and I was like, I know this is fake, but this is pretty cool. So I did. But in that moment, I got to say, it was cool to just experience it and to think like, man, what if in this time, in 2022, what if the cross went down right now and people could just see 8th Ave, just Jesus carrying his cross. And I thought about, man, that to be there in that moment, I would never live for anything else. To be there when Jesus was hanging, bleeding out and saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Why would I ever return back to my sin? Why would I ever return back to selfishness? But we forget this. And I was so grateful for that moment. As much as I was hungry and wanted Mexican food, I was so grateful for that. Because it was Good Friday. I was like, you know what? I need this right now. But I need this more than just on Good Friday. I need to see Jesus and how worthy he is every day. I need to see Jesus for who he is every day. And as we take communion here, we'll finish the scripture after we take communion. But I want you to think about, what if you were there as you were watching Jesus die and this question of who is worthy? How would you answer that question in that moment? Amen. So let's pray. If you do need a communion cup still, just raise your hand. We'll have those handed out. So keep your hand up to make sure you get one. But let's pray here for the communion. Father, we are so, so grateful for your plan, of redemption. And we're so grateful for the Lamb who was slain, God. We're so grateful for Jesus. I pray that as we meditate, as we think about your Son and his death, his body that was broken, help us to remember that this is our doing, God. That although we weren't there that day, Lord, that we are responsible because of our sin. But God, it is a demonstration of your love, Lord. So help us to meditate on how worthy you are right now as we take communion. We love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's continue to read here, close out this passage. Revelation 5, starting in verse 11. It says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.'" No, I'm not going to do that to you guys. "To receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Verse 13, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." You know, in this passage, we read this earlier, we sang about it, we've sang this song a lot in the past, but we see thousands upon thousands of angels surrounding Jesus, the Lamb on his throne, and saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." What a picture. What imagery to look at. They're saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy." And by our lives and our actions, this is what our actions should be saying. God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my patience in this moment. You're worthy of my time. You're worthy of me pushing through that awkward moment to share my faith with someone. You're worthy of my self-control. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Why should we do that? Because everyone in the heavenly realms is doing that right now. Right now and forever. God is worthy. But if you're still not convinced, I want to talk about a little bit of science here. Not a whole lot, but I want to talk about some really cool things that should make you feel even more convinced that Jesus is worthy. Is that cool with you guys? You got any science people in the room? Raise your hand. All right, we got two science people. Come on.
That was probably more than that. There's probably more.
And we are going to close in a second by singing Indescribable. So hopefully this will set our hearts to sing that song. The lyrics in that song says, "You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name." But here's some things that blow my mind and show me that God is worthy of my worship. Do you know that more than 1 million Earths could fit inside of the sun? I mean, I just shrunk as I said that. I just feel smaller after saying that, right? Yet, although we're so small, we're so loved by God, right? You know, according to scientists, just in our Milky Way galaxy alone, there are at least 100 billion planets hanging out here. 100 billion planets in our galaxy alone. If you were to count the stars in this galaxy, one star per second, how long do you guys think it would take? Throw a number out there. You said 30 seconds, 100 years? It would take you 2,500 years to count all of those stars in the Milky Way galaxy. I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I don't care what pills you're taking or how healthy you are. You ain't doing that. Here's another one. If you traveled 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years to get from one side of our galaxy to the other side. Are you feeling a little smaller? You're starting to feel like, oh my gosh, God, you're too big. Guys, our God is big. He is worthy. This is a cakewalk for him. This is one galaxy in the whole universe. And we're just this speck in there. Yet we make ourselves so big. We make our feelings so big. We make our careers so big. And God just like looking at all this, he's like, if they could just like go to outer space for 1 millisecond and just get perspective a little bit. And I always appreciate this quote from Neil Armstrong, an astronaut, who was the first man on the moon. And he says, "I remember on the trip home on Apollo 11, it suddenly struck me that tiny pea, pretty and blue was the earth. And I put my thumb and shut one eye and covered and blotted out planet Earth with my thumb. I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small. That's Neil Armstrong, right? And I think sometimes we have to take a step back from the busyness of life, from the day-to-day craziness, and get perspective. And that's what we do when we come to church. We get perspective. We get truth spoken to us. We get reminded of the things that really matter when all week the world's telling you things that really don't matter, but they're trying to convince you that they do. We are so small, but so very loved by God. And just looking at these images, I can't help but think, oh my goodness, He is worthy. He's worthy of my everything. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure about God. Maybe you're not sure about the Bible or even church in general. You know, maybe you've even been a Christian for a while, but you feel like there's got to be something more to this discipleship thing. There's got to be something more to this Christianity thing. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't even know if you've had bad experiences with church. That totally happens. But no matter where you're at, the thing that you'll never change is that He's worthy. You'll never change that. You'll never change what the scriptures say and what's going on in the heavenly realms, that He's worthy. And it's okay if it might take you some time to realize how worthy He is of your everything, but you're never going to change this eternal truth, amen, that God wants to rescue you. And so what we have to do is be people who respond. And I want to leave you guys with this call to action. Is that cool with you guys? This is not homework. Okay, don't use that word in this room. PTSD from that word. This is a call to action, all right? Our next steps. Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says, I urge you, A-O-N-Y-C, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We know that He is worthy. We know that He's worthy of our everything. So now it's time to live a life that's worthy. God's calling you. God's calling you to follow Him. God's calling you to obey Him and to find life to the full. He's worthy of a Bible study once a week. He's worthy of your time. He's worthy of Sunday mornings. He's worthy of your Friday nights. He's worthy. He's worthy in way more than what I just listed. But we need to see that He is, and we need to live a life worthy of His calling. Amen. You know, here in our ministry, we're trying to grow a Spirit-led movement of young people devoted to following Jesus and making disciples. Amen. We want to make a tangible impact in New York City. We want to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And you'll hear a lot of young people say that, you know, I graduated, I just want to be a part of something bigger than myself. You know, WeWork tried to do that, and then you guys see we crashed. There's a whole thing about that. That was their thing. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. It hits young people. It's motivating. And everyone realized, we're not getting paid a lot, and we work like slaves, and I don't think this is worthy of my life. Right? But God is worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of our everything, and we'd love for you to experience that in our community here at AONYC. And to close, I just want to read this scripture as we get ready to sing. Philippians 2, I think this just sums up everything we've been talking about today. Starting in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. bow now while you can, or bow later when it's too late. And why? Because he's worthy. Amen. To God be the glory.